Greetings and welcome to Sojourn of Souls. Here at Sojourn of Souls, we want to extend our heartfelt welcome to everyone worldwide. We are delighted to count all of you as part of our company as we trek together in this world so we can live eternally with God in the next. Just a reminder, if you find traveling with us is useful, we encourage you to follow us and share our podcast, Sojourn of Souls, with your friends and family. You are our only sales force, so don't be shy about spreading the word. Hi, I'm Deacon Tim Vaughn, and in this episode, we will talk about Saint Maria Faustina of Poland and Divine Mercy. This is a fascinating story of a young Polish woman who died far too young and had a great influence over millions of people over decades since she has died. St. John Paul II, who did more than anyone to promote divine mercy, said, "With burning desire that the message of God's merciful love proclaimed by St. Faustina may be known to all peoples of the earth and fill their hearts with hope, may this message radiate from this place to our beloved homeland and throughout the world. In the mercy of God, the world will find peace and mankind will find happiness." With that being said, let us begin with an Our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I stated in my introduction, St. Faustina died far too young. She was only 33 years old. But what she accomplished in her short, sheltered life left a mark on millions of people throughout the world. I have been writing this between Easter and Divine Mercy Sunday, where not just me, but Catholics across the world are praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet as a novena between Good Friday and Divine Mercy Sunday. In researching this podcast, I found quotations from her diary on various websites, so I've just referenced the quotations as her diary. When I mention quotations in the middle of paragraphs, they are also from her diary. This is a great story of a young person following God's will from a very young age and overcoming many obstacles along the way. This, as I will tell later, is a great lesson learned that all of us must follow. Where did this all begin? This is a wonderful story of a wonderful saint. Alina Kowalska was born on August 25th, 1905. In Klogowski, Poland, the third of 10 children living off a small farm and her father's small carpentry work. Her family was poor, but very religious. Thus, she was baptized just 2 days later. Because of this very strong religious influence, she first felt a calling of religious life when she was only 7 years old, while attending adoration. She made her first Holy Communion at the age of 9, which had a very profound moment of her awareness of the presence of the divine presence within her soul. After finishing her schooling, Faustina wanted immediately to join a convent. However, her parents refused. At the age of 14, Helen left her family home and became a housemaid in a nearby city to help financially to support her family. Again, after her parents refused her permission to enter religious life when she was 18, she relates in her diary, "I turned myself over to the vain things of life, paying no attention to the call of grace, although my soul found no satisfaction in any of these things." Despite her refusals of grace, Jesus was persistent. And again, there's a great lesson here. God's will and our will must be one if we keep praying, and eventually it will happen. And amazingly, God will put us in the place where he wants us to fulfill his will, as he did with St. Faustina. Now just listen what he does with their next, and it's pretty incredible. Now remember, she's leading this vain type of life, and in 1924, at 18 and a half, Alina went with her sister, Natalia, to a dance in a park. Now, while everyone was having fun at the dance, Helen was experiencing deep torments. And as she started to dance, she suddenly had a vision of Jesus at her side, bloody, beaten, racked with pain, and stripped of his clothing. And Jesus said to her, "How long shall I put up with you, and how long will you keep putting me off?" Soon afterward, Helen sneaked away to the Cathedral of St. Stanislaus, where she fell prostrate before the Blessed Sacrament and begged God for direction. And as she prayed, she heard these words, "Go at once to Warsaw and enter a convent there." Whoa. So she took a train some 85 miles or 137 kilometers away without asking her parents' permission. She knew nobody in Warsaw. The only belonging she took was the dress that she was wearing. Now think about this for a minute. She had no money and no clothing, just the dress that she was wearing. This is where she trusted God. She knew nobody, where she was going, or any parishes or convent there. All she did was trust God. And once she got off the train, she prayed to our Holy Mother, who directed her to a small town where she was given lodging for the night. The next day, while praying in a nearby church, she heard Jesus tell her, "Go to that priest and tell him everything, and he will tell you what to do next." The priest arranged for her to stay with the holy woman of the parish for a time. And during her priest day, a brief stay there, she began knocking on the door of every convent she could find, but every one of them turned her down. Finally, she knocked on the door of a congregation of Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy, where the Mother Superior sent her to the chapel to pray and ask Jesus if he accepted her. She went to the chapel and posed a question to Jesus, and he responded, "I do accept. You are in my heart." When she told Mother Michael what Jesus' response was, Helen told her to accept her. Mother Michael then responded, "If the Lord has accepted, then I also accept." But to test her vocation, Mother Michael sent her away for a year to make money for her wardrobe, because St. Faustina had no dowry. Mother Michael later wrote about this encounter in her diary, stating that Helen was no one special. And after a year of working as a housemaid near Warsaw, Helen returned to the convent on August 1st, 1925, at the age of 20, and was accepted to the congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. On that day, she wrote, "I felt immensely happy It seemed to me that I stepped into the life of paradise. A single prayer was bursting forth from my heart, one of thanksgiving. Within a few weeks, however, she became frustrated with the convent's busy schedule and lack of prayer time, so she decided, I'm just going to leave. The night before she was going to tell Mother Michael of her decision, Jesus appeared to her in her cell, beaten and bloodied. When she asked Jesus who did this to him, he responded, it was you, because you caused me this pain if you leave the convent. It is the place where I called you and nowhere else, and I have prepared many graces for you. With that, of course, she changed her mind and went to Krakow to finish her novitiate. And on April 30th, 1926, she received her habit and was given the name Sister Maria Vastina of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, to fast forward a little bit, beginning in 1931, Sister Faustina began to have her visions of Jesus, which we'll discuss in greater detail in this podcast. In 1932, after taking her vows, Faustina was transferred to Vilnius, where she met Father Michael Szabasko, the appointed confessor of the nuns. During her first confession with Szabasko, Faustina told her about her conversations with Jesus and his plan for her. Father Szabasko insisted she be evaluated by a psychiatrist. Sister Faustina passed all the required tests and was determined to be sane, leading Father Szabasko to support her religious efforts. She lived in the congregation for 13 years in several religious houses where she worked as a cook, gardener, and porter. Externally revealing nothing about her rich, religious, mystical interior life, she zealously performed her tasks and faithfully observed the rule of the religious life. She was recollected in the same way, very natural, serene, and full of kindness and disinterested love of her neighbor. Although her life was insignificant, monotonous, and dull, she hid within herself an extraordinary union with God. Her daily duties was intertwined with an incredible mystical experiences in which Jesus regularly appeared to her to deliver her message of divine mercy. From her diary, paragraph 130, she states, I did not pay attention to these interior inspirations and tried to distract myself, but despite the noise of the distraction, I could see what was going on in my soul. The word of God is clear, and nothing can stifle it. And I began to avoid encounters with the Lord in my soul because I did not want to fall prey to illusions. However, in a sense, the Lord kept pursuing my with his gifts, and I truly experienced alternatively torture and joy. Eventually, her confessor, Father Szabasko, ordered her to begin writing her experiences, and only then, in humble obedience, did Sister Faustina begin to write the diary. But she was still uncertain, and at one point, going so far to burn the entire diary, having been persuaded to do so by a spirit who seemed to be a good angel. From that point on, from 1934 until her eventual death 4 years later, Faustina kept a careful record of her interior life, especially that words that Jesus spoke to her. Christ often repeated the instructions, telling her to write everything that occurs to you regarding my goodness. This was something I found from the Vatican website. It states, the years she had spent in the convent were filled with extraordinary gifts, such as revelations, visions, hidden stigmata, participation in the Passion of the Lord, the gift of bilocation, reading human souls, the gift of prophecy, or the rare gift of mystical engagement and marriage, the living relationship with God, the Blessed Mother, the angels, the saints, their souls in purgatory, with the entire supernatural world, was as equally real to her as the world she perceived with her senses. In spite of being so richly endowed with extraordinary graces, Sister Mary Faustina knew that they did not, in fact, constitute sanctity. In her diary, she wrote, "Neither graces, nor revelations, nor raptures, nor gifts granted to a soul made it perfect, but rather the intimate union of the soul with God. These gifts are merely ornaments of the soul, but constitute neither its essence nor its perfection. My sanctity and perfection consist in the close union of my will with the will of God." Saint Faustina understood that union with God is the aim of the human soul. Now, this podcast would not be complete without the vision that Saint Faustina had of hell. On October 20th, 1936, Saint Faustina began an 8-day retreat, and during this retreat, she was greeted by an angel. This angel led her to what is called the chasms of hell, a place, as Saint Faustina notes in her diary, as filled with darkness, terrible suffering, and great torture. Saint Faustina also notes that even though it was full of great darkness, the inhabitants could still see each other and all the evil. Saint Faustina also describes the chasms of hell as having special levels reserved for unique punishments earned while living in the world. Saint Faustina writes in her diary that these are like the torments of the senses. Each soul undergoes a terrible and indescribable sufferings related to the way it has sinned. The tortures of hell, according to Faustina's vision, are as follows. But we must note that these levels are not where the suffering ends. The first torture is the loss of God. The second torture is perpetual remorse of conscience. The third torture is that the individual's condition will never change. The third torture is that a fire will enter the soul without killing it, a spiritual fire that comes from God's anger. The fifth torture is the continual darkness and foul smell where only the devils and the souls of the damned can see each other. The sixth torture is in endless company with Satan. The seventh torture consists of hatred of God's deep despair, blasphemies, and curses. Saint Faustina said she only saw shadows of hell, but that one thing is completely clear. Those who were in the chasms of hell were those who did not believe in hell. So let's talk a little bit about the story of the Divine Mercy. In 1931, our Lord appeared to Saint Faustina in a vision. She saw Jesus clothed in a white garment with the right hand raised in a blessing. Left hand touching his garment in the area of his heart, and there are two large rays that came forth, one red and the other pale. She looked intently at the Lord in silence, and her soul was filled in awe, but also great joy. And Jesus said, "Paint an image according to the pattern you see with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I also promise victory over his enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death. I myself will defend it as my own glory. I am offering people a vessel from which they are to keep coming for graces to the fountain of mercy. That vessel is this image with his signature, Jesus, I trust in you. I desire that this image will be venerated first in your chapel, then throughout the world. At the request of her spiritual director, St. Faustina asked at the Lord about the meaning of the rays in this image, and she heard these words in reply. The two rays donate blood and water. The pale ray stands for the water, which makes the souls righteous. The red ray stands for the blood, which is the life of souls. The two rays issue forth from the depths of my tender mercy when I agonized, when my agonized heart was opened by the lance on the cross. Happy is the one who dwells in their shelter, for the just hand of God shall not lay on him. By means of this image, I shall grant many graces to souls. It is to be a reminder of the demands of my mercy, because even the strongest faith is of no avail without works. These words indicate that the image represents the graces of divine mercy poured out upon the world, especially through baptism and the Eucharist. In 1935, St. Faustina received a vision of an angel sent by God to chastise a certain city. She began to pray for mercy, but her prayers were powerless. Suddenly she saw the Holy Trinity and felt the power of Jesus' grace within her. At the same time, she found herself pleading with God for mercy. With these words, she heard interiorly, "Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us." As she continued to say in this inspired prayer, the angel became helpless and could not carry out the deserved punishment. The next day, as she was entering the chapel, she heard this interior voice instructing her to recite the prayer that our Lord later called the chaplet. This time, after having mercy on us, were added to the words, and the old world. From then on, she recited this form of prayer almost constantly, offering it especially for the dying. In subsequent revelations, the Lord made it clear that the chaplet was not just for her, but for the whole world. He also attached an extraordinary promises to this recitation. Sadly, St. Maria Faustina was consumed by tuberculosis and by innumerable sufferings, which she accepted as a voluntary sacrifice for sinners. She died in Krakow at the age of 33 on October 5, 1938, with a reputation for spiritual maturity and mystical union with God. The reputation of holiness of her life grew as she did the cult of divine mercy and the graces she obtained from God through her intercession. In the years 1965-1967, the investigative process into her life and heroic virtues was undertaken in Krakow, and in the year 1968, the beatification process was initiated in Rome. The latter came to an end in December 1992. And on April the 18th, 1993, our Holy Father, St. John Paul II, raised Sister Faustina to the glory of the altars. St. Maria Faustina remains at rest at the Sanctuary of Divine Mercy in Krakow. When St. John Paul II canonized Sister Faustina, making her St. Faustina, he also on the same day surprised the entire world by establishing Divine Mercy Sunday, the feast day associated with the message, as a feast day for the entire church. The feast day falls on the second Sunday of the Easter season. And on that day, St. John Paul II declared, "This is the happiest day of my life." So in closing, I strongly suggest that you pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day, especially for the sake of our country. So let us finish by praying to our Blessed Mother Mary, for whom St. Faustina had a great devotion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember Jesus' words, "Wide is the road to destruction." So we remind you to stay on the path, and we ask that St. Raphael, the Archangel of Travelers, Godspeed you on your sojourn.